Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
A park ranger, John Irwin, was traveling through a deserted road within the forest and had reached a spot where the Mullica River ran next to the road, when up ahead his headlights shone on a large dark figure that was emerging from the woods and was moving into the roadway. As he got closer, the figure stood in front of the car blocking the roadway. Irwin had to stop his car in order to avoid hitting the creature. The creature was described as being over 6 foot tall and covered with black fur that looked wet and matted. It appeared not to have any forelegs, but had a pair of huge, powerful hind legs. The creature glanced through the windshield of the car, revealing two piercing red eyes. It stood a few minutes then, turned and continued across the road, walking upright like a human in a peculiar robot-like fashion. A park ranger who's been doing this a long time. He told me about an incident while escorting some Boy Scouts out of the park at dark. To get them to their cars, he had to cross a creek that was roughly 4 feet deep and just over 3 feet wide. As he approached the water's edge with his flashlight, there were large sounds from both sides of him growling from up in the surrounding cliffs. It sounded something like a big bear and a wolf, but much deeper. He told me it was the scariest thing he's ever heard. Even though they weren't exactly close, he knew whatever it was sounded big, and it was not going to let him pass without taking a swipe at him or potentially chasing him off. So, he angled his flashlight beam to light up the water's surface, shouted at the boys crossing, "Stay away from the edge of the creek. Hurry or we'll be here all night." They got across safely by jumping, and as soon as they were out of sight, he heard a loud crashing sound in front of him. He kept shining his light straight away, but never saw anything. He got to just that, whatever it was trying to stay hidden in the darkness, He didn't think much about it, though, until a few years later when I asked if he's ever seen anything creepy after dark. He said, "No way whatsoever. I've been doing this for years, and there is something very spooky about that stretch of land, especially past sunset." In fact, that following summer, yet another ranger was going to check on a family, a mom, dad, and son, all hikers. He thought they were still out near the same area. When he got close enough to their campsite, he saw all three sets of tent footprints coming across the creek, but only one set going back into the woods. He found them all dead, and he had to write down that it was an attempted mauling by a bear, but they had been partially eaten. Even that Boy Scout troop leader said what he saw resembled what looked to be a large wolf, and he believes it's the infamous Michigan Dogman. Anyway, you really don't want to go camping in these parts at night. The woods just are not really safe anymore. I was driving home from work on a misty night in October of 2019. I had just crossed the border from Pennsylvania into Maryland on Route 15 South. I was between Emmitsburg and Thurmont and listening to music on the radio, trying to stay awake and alert. As I approached Little Owens Creek, I saw something move in the corner of my eye. I slowed down and looked to my right toward the creek and trees. What I saw next took my breath away. I slammed on the brakes. There was a large creature standing on two legs by the side of the road, clear as day. It looked like a hybrid of a wolf and a man with dark fur and a long snout, pointed ears, and bright yellow eyes. It had muscular arms, legs, and long claws on its hands. I couldn't see the feet. It was 6-7 feet tall, and it had a long tail that was wagging slowly. The upright creature stared at me as I skidded to a halt. It then let out a loud and terrifying howl that reverberated throughout my car and body. The sound was more stark than any horror film howl. It created a surge of fear and panic in me. The beast took a step toward me and then another. The expression on its face was that of anger. I didn't know what to do. I was practically paralyzed by fear, and I could only watch as the creature moved a few steps closer. At that moment, bright lights from a vehicle behind flashed behind me, and then the sound of a horn blared. The driver slowly drove by me on the left. The creature also noticed the light and the horn. It turned its head to look at the other vehicle. I quickly stepped on the accelerator and I sped forward. I didn't stop for anything until I got home in Frederick. When I walked in the house, my wife could see that I was upset. I told her what I witnessed. She begged me not to tell anyone. I didn't have my cell in the car, by the way, but I doubt that I would have called the police. It's been almost 4 years since my encounter. I have continuously looked for references to a similar creature. The road to my objective wound parallel to a dike, its path meandering close to the serene waters of the Mears River. On the opposite side of the road stretched out a smooth, undisturbed plain. It was a tranquil setting, a far cry from the bustling town I had left behind. As I walked, I couldn't help but appreciate the beauty of nature around me, and little did I know that this serene journey would soon take a bewildering turn. About 1 kilometer away from the last houses of the town, the road came to an abrupt end at a bend in the embankment. It was there, at that unexpected terminus, that my encounter with the inexplicable began. I clambered up the embankment, and as I reached its edge, my gaze was drawn to a most peculiar sight. Approximately 7 meters away from where I stood, arranged in a semicircle, were about 5 dogs. They stood still, oddly silent, their attention fully riveted on something in front of them. And there, in the center of their attention, stood an entity that defied all comprehension. The being before me was unlike anything I had ever encountered or even imagined. It stood at least 1 meter tall, its head elongated to an eerie extreme, devoid of any discernible features such as eyes, nose, or mouth. Its torso was disproportionately long compared to its limbs, which were no more than 25 centimeters in length and similar in both diameter and proportion. The upper limbs appeared smooth, devoid of any discernible joints or growths. There were no telltale signs of gender, no elements to identify it as male or female. The most astonishing aspect, however, was the being's skin or covering a pitch-black substance that seemed entirely alien to the natural world. This strange entity had me utterly captivated, but it also filled me with a sense of unease and uncertainty. As if reacting to my presence, the dogs abruptly broke their silence and started to run back towards the town, vanishing into the distance. Simultaneously, the enigmatic being began to move, retreating towards the Muir's River. Its movement was nothing short of remarkable and astonishing blend of swift steps and kangaroo-like jumps. Remarkably, during its retreat, not a single sound emanated from the being except for the occasional crunch of ice giving way beneath its weight. The footprints left behind were far from human. They were flattened circles, unlike anything I had ever seen before. The river lay before me, its flow reduced to a mere trickle at that time, with a riverbed reaching depths of 2 meters. This terrain prevented me from pursuing the strange entity any further. For a few moments, I stood there, both fascinated and bewildered, my senses overwhelmed by what I had just witnessed. It took me a minute or two to gather my wits and, driven by curiosity and a strange compulsion, I decided to follow the trail left by the mysterious being. For the next 2 hours, I combed the grove along the riverbank, but despite my best efforts, I could find no trace of it. I was certain that it had not entered the water, for the wide beach bore no marks, and the unfrozen snow remained undisturbed, its surface as smooth as untouched sand. It was during this search that I noticed a curious transformation in the environment. The place where the strange being had stood emitted an intense, pungent smell of chlorine. However, upon returning to the spot after 2 hours, this scent had metamorphosed into a powerful odor of ozone, tingling my senses. My encounter with this enigmatic being haunted my thoughts for a long time. I grappled with its existence and the conditions under which our paths had crossed. I was a rational person, one who did not believe in ghosts, devils, extraterrestrial beings, angels, or any such entities. Yet, that day, amid the clarity of the weather and the untamed wilderness surrounding me, I had experienced something that defied all logical explanation, a memory etched into my mind, impossible to forget. In the summer of 2011, my 12-year-old twin sons were having a friend sleepover. We live in a 3-story house and all 3 of the boys were in the basement area playing. I was on the 2nd floor sitting on my couch reading a book. It was early evening around dusk. All was peaceful other than the ruckus the boys were making downstairs. I was sitting there half reading my book when the boys all came running loudly up the stairs. The stairwell door was on a sliding mechanism, and when they got to the top, instead of sliding it, they sort of pushed on it and it came off the track. With it off the track, it could swing back and forth. I told them I would fix the door later. Anyway, they left the door off the track and all 3 went running up to their 3rd-floor bedroom to play. I was still on the couch when only a few seconds after all 3 had just gone upstairs, I saw my son come around the corner, lift his arm, push the now swinging stairwell door open, and move down the steps. He never lifted his head to look at me. His head was down the entire time, and he never said why he was going back down there. My first thought was that he looked a bit odd and moved kind of strangely. Then I thought, why didn't he say anything? Then I figured he left something down there. This all took a matter of maybe 2-3 seconds when suddenly, I heard his voice laughing and talking loudly upstairs. I freaked out. I jumped off the couch, ran over to the stairwell, looked down, and called his name, but he didn't answer. I swear to God this is a real story, and every hair on my body was standing up and I had chills. I have them now just writing about it. So, I ran upstairs and saw him sitting on the floor with his brother and their friend playing. Even though I knew it was completely impossible for him to be downstairs and upstairs at the same time, I asked him if he had somehow just gone into the basement. He, of course, said no. I swept the basement looking for a person. I checked doors and windows and closets, even though I knew that whatever that thing was, it looked exactly like my 12-year-old son. It was as solid as a real person and was wearing exactly the same clothes my son had on. It was the same size as him and was able to push a solid door open and everything, only it moved a bit weird and never looked at me or spoke to me. Nothing else happened that night, and I never could explain it or understand it. Until 3 years later, almost to the very day that the incident happened, my son was diagnosed with leukemia. He's undergone years of terrible cancer and chemotherapy and has battled it like a warrior. He is 19 now and his treatment has now ended. He is doing great and is in remission. Praise be to the Lord. I've heard that doppelgangers portend bad luck or illness, but I never thought that when I saw that thing that looked at my son, it meant something bad would happen to him. But the day he was diagnosed, I realized why I saw what I saw. I don't know for sure if it was some sort of warning or not, because it scared the hell out of me and it felt very sinister. I pray I never ever see it again. I wish to report this anonymously. I work as a cop in the Washington, D.C. area and am intrigued by what we just saw. So my wife and kids were playing in the neighborhood playground at approximately 2019 UHERS when my 10-year-old observed four stars. My wife looked up and said they were moving. I looked up to see the stars for myself and saw 6-10 of these glowing balls of light flying in a straight line, heading northeast from the Hibla Valley area of Virginia, right off US 1. I managed to catch the tail end of the formation on video, but lost focus while attempting to zoom in. One of the lights veered away northbound near the end of the formation. I moved to higher ground to see if I could catch the rest of the flight path, but they disappeared. My wife, kids, and multiple witnesses in the playground saw the lights. I'm guessing drones, but I'm not sure. I guess we saw UFOs. I went RV camping with my friends back in high school. We hiked way out into the woods or mountains and collapsed exhausted into our RV. Middle of the night, I hear something outside my RV. Then another something, and another, all around the RV. It sounded so much to me like something stalking up to our RV, surrounding it. I gathered my courage and looked out, shining my flashlight in out the pitch-black darkness. All I could see in the dark was shining eyes looking back at me. Not little eyes or eyes close to the ground, but almost man height and large. It wasn't a particularly frightening experience, but it was undeniably bizarre. Out of the blue, my brother, our roommate, and I decided to embark on an RV camping adventure. As we peacefully slumbered in our tents, our dreams were abruptly shattered by the chaotic noise of a man, clearly high out of his mind, stumbling and bellowing incoherently. Startled, my brother and I were instantly jolted awake. The cacophony intensified as the disoriented individual approached our tent. Without hesitation, my brother, seizing the moment, armed himself with a pistol. In a stern but calm voice, he declared, "We're sleeping. Go away." In response, there was an eerie pause. The unsettling silence was quickly disrupted by the distant wailing of police sirens. A few tense minutes later, law enforcement arrived on the scene, instructing the erratic intruder to drop whatever pole-like object he held. Suddenly, the night air crackled with the unmistakable sound of tasers, followed by the thud of the man hitting the ground. The next morning, my brother, our roommate, and I shared a hearty chuckle about the peculiar events of the previous night. So the first experience happened when I was 7-8 years old, and we lived in a suburb called Malden in Darwin, Northern Territory. There were these Aboriginals that lived up the road from us, and they were notorious for having a lot of domestic violence and always having cops slash ambulances over their house. What happens when the families fight is that they start doing black magic on each other and sending evil spirits slash curses to each other. One night, the cats and the dogs in the neighborhood were extremely vocal. The dogs couldn't stop barking, and the cats were meowing and running from drain to drain trying to find somewhere to hide. This went on for a good 4 hours until about 12 to 1 a.m. Me and my mom were sleeping, and my sister came running in the house, saying, "Get up, there is an alien ship outside." We get up and go outside, and fair enough, there is something that's silver-colored and shaped like a typical saucer, as you see in the movies, right above the Aboriginal's house. It had lights underneath it projecting onto the ground, going in circles. They were a light blue color, and from the outside going into the center. It was biggest to smallest, and they were circular-shaped. The lights just kept twirling around, and I wish I took a video, but back then phones weren't very common, and even if you did have a good phone, the camera quality was terrible in the early 2000s. It stayed there for a very long time and then left. The next day we heard of kids that had followed it on their BMX bikes from different suburbs away. This wasn't the only time it happened. It happened at least twice, and every single time it would start off with the dogs and the cats in the neighborhood going crazy. I know it wasn't a fake prop because of the animals, and at least 7 to 10 other witnesses that seen it. I seen a video on YouTube of cats sensing earthquakes before they hit, because they have supersonic hearing, and Roman 4 also heard that before a natural catastrophe like a flood happens, animals will seek high ground a day before it happens. They know things that we don't for sure. The second weird thing that I seen was when we had made a trip to Alice Springs. My sister was dating one of the boys that were from that house and that family. When we were in Alice Springs late at night, we happened to see another weird thing which very closely resembles the old PS2 startup screen with the colored balls twirling around each other. There was 4 lights colored orange, green, blue, and red just twirling around each other in a pattern maybe 12 feet in the air. It was so strange for it to be so prominent and just stay there for a long time doing it and allowing us to see it. My sister told me 15 years later that the reason the lights were following us was because her boyfriend had a curse on him. He was an accessory to murder. He had given one of his relatives an axe to go and kill his wife, and the lights had followed us 1,500 Ks all the way from Darwin. The third time was at my property in Berry Springs, maybe 25 Ks out of Darwin. A lot of people started telling us that they see lights on our property, and it's a rural property with lots of land because I'm a traditional owner. We thought it was thieves trying to come on our property with flashlights and steal stuff while we were sleeping. I was around 11 to 12 years old when I saw the light for myself. It was late at night again, and I was going down to the stairs because the toilet in the house was broken, and I had to use the outside toilet. About 30 m away underneath a mango tree, I see a faint light like an old torch when it loses its battery and it starts to turn brown. I was about to yell out because I thought I was about to catch the thief. But very quickly I realized that it was gliding and sort of bobbing up and down. And maybe it noticed that I saw it, so the light went from a dim brown color to an immaculate gold color. I can't even describe the color, but it was like a small piece of the sun right in front of me at night. It's like when you see a lightning strike at night and it lights up the entire area around it. Well, I saw it in a small compact ball the size of a basketball. There is no man-made thing in this world that could match the brightness that I saw that night. It was incredibly bright. It opened my brain up to a whole new brightness that I've never seen in my life. It was kind of like a human spirit because it turned the corner as if it was walking. It didn't go through the wall that was nearby, and it stayed on the footpath. I would have stayed and stared at it heading into the opposite direction, but as soon as I seen it turn the corner, I immediately thought that it could easily turn back around and come charging straight at me. I got incredibly scared and ran back up the stairs, and what made it worser was I was home alone, and I couldn't go outside and pee. There is a common name for these lights called Min Min lights. But I'm not sure if that's what I seen that night, because I've heard of people seeing the lights that were either green or red. But this one was a strange type of golden that I've never seen on this earth. The fourth time was when my uncle was dating an Aboriginal woman, and she had a niece whom my sister befriended. There are these things called hairy men. They are ugly little creatures that can pop into the spiritual realm and our realm. Kids are given these creatures as protectors, apparently, and they can hop into the owner's body and help them fight. My sister and her friend that lived with us was stupid enough to accept one of these creatures as a friend, and that's when a lot of crazy things started happening in the house. For example, as we were taking showers, we would hear little giggles and knocks on the door. My mom would fall asleep on the lounge and wake up in a whole different spot at the front door. There was lots of other things that happened that I can't remember, because this was at least 13 years ago. We were eating dinner one night, and for some reason they loved coming out and tormenting us when it was a stormy night and raining heavily. Well, I happened to see one of its faces just peeking up from under the table looking at our food. I got a very quick glimpse of it. It had pale skin, a scar on its face going from top to bottom, and black hair that was very thin and horse-like. Immediately got up and screamed and threw the ashtray at it, but it disappeared.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We left the house that night and our food, and the next day all of our plates had no food on it. We had to go into town and find some Aboriginal men that knew how to get rid of these things through black magic. They came to the house and was doing all kinds of chants and rituals, and we even heard it in a bush nearby, and one of the guys threw a rock at it, and it made a dull thumping sound as if it hit flesh. And that was the last we ever had any more paranormal experiences from them. When they were in our house before the men came, I experienced my fourth paranormal encounter. We all started sleeping together in the lounge room because we were too scared to sleep alone for obvious reasons. I was the only one awake, and I couldn't help but feel there was a presence in the house. I stayed up for maybe 4 hours looking around the room because I felt like it could pop up out of nowhere and I would easily see it. Well, it didn't show itself to me that night, but what it did do is start slamming the cupboard doors violently at least 6 times. I literally didn't hear any footsteps in the house that night, but it was just on the other side of the wall slamming the cupboards really hard like it was angry, and that was the most frightening experience of my life because I was the only person experiencing this. It's true that your fear feeds evil entities, because I was scared that night and was really focusing on it, giving it my energy. And it was really hard to go to sleep that night knowing that this thing had physical strength. But I did end up going sleep that night out of pure exhaustion of staying up really late. All in all, these experiences have helped me build my faith in becoming a Christian man because I know for sure that demons exist. I'm going to share a story with you from a few years ago back when I was still a ranger. I don't know how many of you have been to Fall Creek Falls in Tennessee, but it's an absolutely gorgeous state park. It's well known for its waterfalls, but let me tell you something about the forest there. This was around 10:30 p.m. on a weeknight. I was working my shift and I had to go out of service for about an hour to go and get some paperwork done. So one of the other rangers agreed to cover for me. It's dark by 9 p.m. in the summer at that latitude. It was pitch black when I began to drive out of the park. As I was driving out, I noticed several deer running alongside my truck. At first, it didn't really concern me. If Fall Creek Falls is known to be home to the largest population of white-tailed deer in any state east of Mississippi. Unbeknownst to me at the time, there had also been a lot of predator activity. They were beginning to become a nuisance, and they had also been attacking local livestock. So, as I was driving down the scenic road, several more deer began running alongside me. They were keeping pace with my truck for a while, but eventually they peeled away from the road. I didn't think anything of it and just kept on going. 30 minutes later, while I was stopped at a red light in town, a deer had run right up to the passenger side of my truck. It wasn't attacking me or anything and just trotted along the bumper for a little while, then ran off into the brush on the other side of the road. I'm not sure how much of you know about deer behavior, but they typically don't act like this. When they see headlights coming their way, they turn away and run from them. So, what was happening here? Well, I didn't find out until later. After seeing three or four deer running alongside my truck for 30 minutes uninterrupted, something else from the forest joined them, and it was pacing me. That's when I realized these poor deer had been chased out and hunted by something. Of course, when this was going on, I didn't think too much of it. Deer are typically skittish, and they're not always comfortable around people. Hence, why this behavior was so bizarre. So, for them to act like this means there was something else nearby. I really wanted to see what was making them act like this, so I kept driving towards the west side of town. The whole way, every streetlight I passed, I would try and look over my shoulder at the car behind me every few seconds to make sure it wasn't getting too close. So, every time a deer ran alongside me or crossed in front of my truck, I'd start scanning the woods along the road for whatever was lurking in the darkness. I eventually got home without further incident and went inside to get some rest. The next day I went back out. It turned out that one of the other rangers had found a dead deer on the side of the road, near where I actually saw them running right along with my truck. Judging by how much damage was done to the carcass, it looked like it had been killed by something really big with very sharp claws and teeth. And we're talking bigger than a bear. I'll never forget what happened next. Well, roughly about 2 weeks later, I was finishing up work right around the same time, and another ranger had come up to me and asked me if I'd seen anything odd lately. He just said he came back from making his rounds, and he'd seen a tall, dark figure off in the forest to the left. I remember kind of chuckling and asking what he meant. He told me he tried to track it down, but couldn't find anything that matched what he'd seen. No bent down grass, nothing bedding down, no footprints, nothing. And so, I told them what happened to me. We decided to stick around for a little while longer, and then we started talking about our favorite movies. Then we hear this loud howl coming throughout the trees. This howl was coming deep within the woods, but it did not sound like any animal native to Tennessee or even North America that we knew of. It sounded like some kind of cross between a wolf howl and a coyote yelp mixed with a deep guttural bellow. We heard it again a few seconds later, this time directly behind us, just on the other side. That's when we looked at each other and both just started to slowly back away. I don't know how much you know about animal behavior, but when wolves or coyotes start howling like that, they're either calling out to their pack mates that they found food, or they're giving away their location so another member of the pack can come in for the kill. We kept moving back slowly, and as soon as we were far enough away to take cover, we got out of there. The next day, I went back to see the deer carcass, and it was even in worse condition. Huge, jagged teeth marks all over, similar to what you might see on an alligator kill. This was no doubt in my mind. Whatever had made these wounds wasn't some kind of wild animal. This looked like the result of something that was non-human, that had very, very large teeth. The incident at Fall Creek Falls isn't the strangest thing that's happened to me while working as a ranger for the state park. I lived in the suburbs on a cul-de-sac, where across the road was a forest which eventually backed up onto a river. One late night around midnight, my dog was scratching at the front door, wanting to be let out to pee. Usually I just let her out in the backyard, but it being a nice summer night anyway, I put her on a leash and walked her across the street to the forest so she could do her business. But as soon as we got across the street, she started tugging on the leash and growling, looking towards the forest. I looked up and noticed a dozen twinkling lights coming from the otherwise pitch-black forest, as if people were shining flashlights in my direction. Freaked out, I picked my dog up and ran all the way home, locking the door behind me. The next part is going to sound like a complete lie, but I really could not make this shit up. It's haunted me for years, so if anyone has any explanation as to what I witnessed, please help me out. I ran up to my bedroom, which had a pretty good view of the forest, and I began watching out my window. I saw about a dozen men walk out of the forest carrying flashlights. They looked like they were wearing suits, but the only light I had was a street lamp, so they may have just been wearing full black outfits. A couple of them held briefcases, and about four of them were carrying a door. Yep, just a random door off of its hinges. Then, trailing behind them, was a woman in a white dress. They walked to the middle of the cul-de-sac, where the girl proceeded to lift up her dress, squat, and pee in the middle of the street. It was then that my neighbor down the road, who I'm guessing saw the flashlights through his window, started screaming, "Hey, what the F are you doing?" Calmly, the group of people turned around, walked down the cul-de-sac, across the street, and back into the forest. I remember waking up my parents, who truly believed I had just had a bad dream until the next morning, when all of our neighbors were outside talking about the occurrence. I remember word traveled around the block, and then everyone at my high school was talking about it. I don't remember if anyone got law enforcement into it, but it was a pretty big topic for weeks. I never saw these people again. There were rumors like that they were a cult, vampires, time travelers, etc. I don't really believe in that shit, so I really have no clue what to say about it. On Saturday, September 9, 2023, my wife and I were driving north on US 24 at Rice Lake, Illinois. It was about 7:45 p.m., and dusk was setting in. Without a warning, a large, maybe 7 foot tall, light-colored hairy upright creature crossed in front of us right to left at a distance of 150 feet or so. The creature literally crossed the highway in 2-3 seconds. Both of us got a very good look at it. There was a pickup truck in the other lane at the time, and this creature crossed directly in front of it. There is no way that they missed seeing it. In fact, when I passed the pickup after the crossing, the man gained speed and didn't look in our direction. We both believe that we witnessed a Bigfoot. I have lived in Illinois all my life and never believed in the sightings. But now I am somewhat confused by what we saw. I asked a few acquaintances about our sighting, but they didn't want to speculate. One friend suggested I contact you after searching Google. The creature was massive in the body and the hair was light in color, kind of a dirty blonde hue. I want to remain anonymous, but thought that it was important to report our sighting. This happened just last night, and I'm still pretty creeped out. I was heading home from work on my bike, not hiking, I know, but whatever. I work from 2 to 11, so I head home on the late side every night. I was riding through the harbor to my house when I hear just the loudest, most ungodly shriek I can imagine behind me. I'm going pretty fast, so I don't worry about it too much. Probably just a weird homeless person I can easily outpace. Then I hear it again, but it's coming from somewhere totally different. The first one was behind me. This one was sort of ahead to the left. Every time I hear this, it seriously sounds like a person being murdered or something. I lost count of how many different screams I was hearing at around 8 different sources. Naturally, I'm booking it at this point. But here's the thing. My bike is old and not in great shape. It has a tendency to jump the chain when I shift too heavily. This, paired with the fact that getting out of the harbor requires a fairly steep climb, I was just about shitting myself. I don't know if I was actually being chased, but it sure as hell felt like it. The freakiest part was when I was just getting up to the top of the hill outside the harbor. I looked back. I wear a head-mounted light at night for safety. I whip around and see probably 5 or 6 pairs of eyes reflecting the light back at me, but whatever they belonged to was just out of the cone of bright light. I think they were dogs. At least that's what I keep telling myself. But goddamn, those screams seriously scared me more than I've been in years. Years ago, when I was in my late teens, me, my cousin and 4 friends went camping about 90 minutes north of where we lived in the Bay Area of California. We went to a regular camping ground and set up for 3 days and nights of partying. We heard from a few over campers who were somewhat locals of the area living within 20-30 minute drive that there were local stories about a section of the woods that were supposed to be off limits due to paranormal activity. As soon as I heard that, I decided we had to go check it out. My cousin and one of our friends were willing to go. Our other 3 friends thought it was bull and stayed to get more drunk/stoned, so we set off on the second night. We got directions from a boyfriend/girlfriend on where to drive to, so we went at about 11 p.m. We arrived at 11:20 due to dirt roads and going slow to not pop a tire. After parking, we got out on foot and walked for about the same amount of time, maybe a little longer into the woods, single file down what seemed like a game trail. After about 30 minutes of walking, we started to see a glow in the near distance. We kept walking, but more quietly. When we got to within about 300 yards, we could see that it was a bonfire with several small fires around it. When we got to within 250 yards, we could hear people. We started to get a bit spooked at this point, but like naive kids, kept going. As soon as we got to within about 70-80 yards, we could pretty much make out that we stumbled onto a ritual being held in the middle of the woods. We couldn't make out what the people were wearing or specifically doing, but they were visible in the firelight, and there were about 12-15 of them around the main fire chanting and occasionally yelling. The main person, I assume, would walk to the edge of the circle of flames, disappear for a few seconds due to not being visible, then come back to the main fire and do something which encouraged the rest to yell and chant. Well, out of stupidity and curiosity, we wanted to see exactly what they were doing here in the middle of nowhere. We got a bit too close and we saw a person look in our direction, stare for a few seconds, and started to walk towards where we were not 50 feet away. This sent us running as fast as we could while not trying to lose each other. The person yelled, confirming it was a he, and we started to be chased by I don't know how many of these people. We could hear them charging into the forest and after us in our direction. And thank God we had that amount of a separation on them, or who knows. We got to my cousin's truck, piled in, and took off as fast as we could for the first couple 1/4 mile. Needless to say, we've never been back. I camp elsewhere. This happened to me over the weekend during a hunting trip. I spent last night trying to Google and figure out what the hell I saw. I haven't found anything that doesn't seem like conspiracy craziness, so I am open to any suggestions. A family friend has a few hundred acres in Tennessee. Once a year, my dad, uncle, me, and the guys in the family that own the land go on a week-long hunting trip. They have a cabin and a trailer tucked away at the edge of the mountain that we stay at during the week. There is no running water, and we use a generator for lights during the evening. Phone service is non-existent out there. The nearest town is Murphy, Tennessee, which is about 50 minutes away by car. Typically, we get out to tree stands or ground blinds around 4 a.m., and then come back to the camp around 9-ish, grab something to eat, and nap, and then head back to hunt until sundown. All week, my uncle and I hunted the same plot. It was on the east side of the property and took about 20 minutes by four-wheeler. We would park the four-wheeler in this big clearing, and then the ground blind I was hunting from is another 15 minutes or so by foot. It's a rough 15 minutes, too. I basically walk along this ridge line on the side of the mountain, and the blind is set just inside the underbrush of a tree line that overlooks an opening at the start of a river. My uncle was hunting in a blind that was a little closer walk and probably 30 minutes away from me. We hunted the same spot Sunday, Thursday. Thursday evening, we were all drinking beer and hanging out by the fire. My uncle, having not seen anything all week, wanted to go to the plot my dad was hunting. It's like a 30-man walk from the camp. You don't even need a four-wheeler to get there. I had killed a deer the first afternoon there and seen a bunch of does that evening right before sunset, so I wanted to stay where I was. So Friday morning after we hunted, I helped him pack up his blind and ride it out to the plot my dad had been on and helped him get set up for that evening. I took the four-wheeler by myself that afternoon and continued hunting the same ground blind. Same thing as I had done all week, everything was fine. Nothing out of the ordinary until Saturday morning. I had gone out by myself again that morning and had watched a bunch of deer that crept up right before the sun started coming up. They were a bit further than I wanted to shoot, and when they got closer to the edge of the river, they weren't big enough or were too young for me to justify shooting. I watched them until they retreated back into the woods, and at this point, it's probably 8:30 a.m. or so, and the sun is fully up. Now, this isn't embarrassing for me, but oh well. Having spent almost an entire week packed in this trailer with two other guys and no privacy, I decided I was going to rub one out before I went back to the camp. Every hunter has done it, Ike, if you admit it or not, lol. Now I'm sitting there doing my thing, and even though nobody ever walks up on you while you're hunting out there, I'm still on high alert making sure I don't get caught by one of the guys while I'm doing this. I'm laid back in this chair inside the blind, basically one eye open looking out in front of me, and every now and again peeking behind me through the mesh to make sure no one is coming. That's when I started hearing crunching. I knew it was people footsteps, and I could tell it was more than one person. It was to my right, and the mesh of the ground blind and underbrush kept me from being able to see who it was. I calmly put my junk away and quietly leaned up so when my uncle, or whoever it was, came up, I could act like I was just sitting there hunting. Keep in mind, we are so far out in the sticks that it never even occurred to me that it could be anybody other than someone I was hunting with. I listened to them walking, and finally, I slowly stood up and poked my head out the blind and peeked over the underbrush. It was four people walking towards the river in a line. They were wearing these black cloak-looking clothes like something they wear in Harry Potter, with these furry hats that covered most of their faces. Looked like some weird cult, but the guy in the back of the line was completely naked. He looked disgusting. His hair was curly and way too long, and he had a big beard that looked nasty, like it had a bunch of leaves and shit in it. I'm bundled up with hand warmers in my pockets because it's like 25-30 degrees out. This guy had to be freezing. No shoes either. This is thick underbrush we're talking about walking through. Rocks jutting up from the ground and shit. No sane person is out there barefoot, much less completely naked. The guy had to be 115 pounds too, just completely unhealthy, looking like these people had been keeping him prisoner or something. The sight of these guys was so unnerving to me that I was still standing there frozen in an awkward half-stand, half-bent-over position with my head out the blind watching them before it clicked with me. I needed to slowly sit down. At that point, they had passed the point of the blind where I couldn't see them and were walking with their backs to me towards the river. I slowly sat down and put my rifle in my lap and watched them all step ankle-deep into the river. They were facing side profile away from me towards the woods, and I could see two of the clothed people moving around the naked guy, and one of them was standing still holding their arm out in front of them. I got the nerve to look through my scope at them, and it looked like two of them were washing the guy with the river water, and the other one holding their arm out, holding like a chain or something. The one holding the chain was talking, but way too far for me to hear any of it. After a few minutes, the two doing the washing stopped, and all three of them held hands around the naked guy and started moving in a circle around him while he just stood there staring ahead. They did this shit for 5 minutes at least. That doesn't seem like a long time, but 5 whole minutes of watching whatever the hell that was seemed like a lifetime. Something of note. That clicked with me last night. Whatever they were doing seemed time-based. My watch beeped at 9 and nearly gave me a heart attack. No way they could hear it, but in my head I was picturing them all turning and looking at me. But right after my watch beeped, they stopped a few seconds later, so 9 on the dot. The three clothed people stepped back in a line in front of the naked guy, and they walked back the way they came from, exactly like they came in. None of them talked or broke the line they were walking in. It was terrifying because the way out for them was the first time I truly could have been in their line of sight. They never saw me though, and I watched them once they passed me head back up the mountain from where I assumed they originally came from. I waited for 30 minutes or so and booked it out of there so fast.